Good evening.
What else?
Let's call our meeting to order, please. Mrs. Clark?
This regular meeting of the mayor and council of the borough of Atlantic Highlands is called pursuant to the provisions of the Open Public Meetings Law. Adequate notice has been provided by transmitting the resolution of annual meetings to the Asbury Park Press and the Two River Times, by posting it in the Borough Hall on the bulletin board reserved for such announcements, and by filing it with the municipal clerk on January 2nd, 2025. This agenda is complete to the extent known and formal action will be taken.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Colasetto?
Here.
Mr. Crowley?
Here.
Mrs. Cusick?
Here.
Mr. Dougherty?
Here.
Ms. Forbes?
Here.
Mr. Fujos?
Here.
Mayor Holman?
I am here. I'm going to ask that we all please rise for a moment of silent reflection and the Pledge of Allegiance. Obviously, today is a solemn day, and just I'll be thinking about unity across the world in memory of Pope Francis.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. My husband and I were in Rome last week, and it just feels surreal that already big history changed in a few days. Okay. So on to our agenda for tonight. May I have a motion and a second to approve previous meeting minutes, which is the April 7th, 2025 regular meeting minutes?
Challenges.
Cusick, second.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Colasetto?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Forbes?
Yes.
Mr. Fujos?
Yes.
Minutes have passed.
Thank you very much, everybody. And now the fun part, I always say, when we honor members of our community. We have instituted this year the artists in Atlantic Highlands. The first selected was Seth Heiler, but the second, Vicki Schmelzer and Seth, got together and they've nominated Yen Chow, who's my friend, to be honored this evening as our featured artist for the month. So I'm going to ask Yen to come up and discuss a little bit of her work. We'll take a couple pictures and then you'll tell us about your beautiful work.
Thank you, Mayor.
Brian, do you mind?
I personally have some of your work, so I love telling people about it when I'm there.
Thank you for your support.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you. Take a great picture. Thank you. First, I just wanted to say what a wonderful town I'm living in. So I'm going to read what a wonderful town we live in that thinks art is important. Thanks to Mayor.
Mayor Laurie, thank you to everybody.
And what better place to be an artist than beautiful Atlantic Highlands? I have been here for more than 10 years. And I'm still amazed every day by her ever-changing beauty and character. The character that comes from history and the beauty that comes from the surrounding nature, the marina, the harbor, the trail, the early morning light, the late afternoon shadows, the changing colors of fall and spring. The subject for painting is endless. It's an artist's paradise. I also wanted to mention that we live in this beautiful community, a very supportive community for arts and artists. I was born in Shanghai and have lived in the States for more than 30 years. I took up painting after retiring as a business owner. Growing up in China, I have always loved Chinese calligraphy and landscape paintings. My passion for art has led me to pursue art history courses to become a docent at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, and to travel all around the world to pay tribute to my favorite arts and cultures. I love watercolor because it's so perfect for capturing the fleeting moment of reaction to a scenery or subject. Artists over the years have used watercolor to do life sketch for that very reason. until they realized that watercolor should be a medium on a par with oil. As Turner and Sargent's watercolors can attest, there is a saying in Chinese that artists should paint poetry and not prose. Prose is what you see. Poetry is how you feel. That is what I strive to do every day, to paint poetry.
Tonight, and you have always, anytime that we have, you are always at the Arts Council doing, promoting your work and everybody else's work, so
yes.
You can learn more about them at the Arts Council.
Okay. Next on the agenda, we have proclamations. We do have one proclamation supporting April as Alcohol Awareness Month, and that is in partnership with our friends at the Alliance. I also wanted to mention that April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and as a survivor, I think it's important for us to know that we never know who else has been through or been in a situation where your power is taken away from you, and I see the chief here, and the chief has worked on some really, really difficult cases, and you've always been an advocate for sexual assault survivors, so thank you, chief, for, you're the best. Okay, moving on. Unfinished business. We have Ordinance 5-2025, the COLA Ordinance Public Hearing Possible Adoption. May I have a motion and a second to open public hearing?
Curly moves.
Forbes seconds.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Anyone in the public who would like to make a comment on this, please come raise your hand and I'll call on you to come forward. Please then state your name and address. Going once, going twice, nope. Okay, moving on.
Anybody
hand raise?
No.
I'm not familiar with the Zoom tonight.
Nope, no hands raised.
Excuse me?
You want to just tell us what the
code
is?
Do I want to just tell, did you read the packet, Mr. Leinstrom? Oh, well. Someone else is going, I don't have one in front of me, but Mr. Farragina does, so. You want to read the title?
Sure.
Ordinance to exceed the municipal budget appropriations limits and to establish a cap.
I didn't identify as that.
It's okay. That's okay. All right. We are ready. I need a motion and a second to adopt the ordinance.
Crowley moves.
Peter seconds.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Colasardo.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mrs. Pusa.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Ms. Forbes.
Yes.
Mr. Pujols.
Yes.
Ordinance 5 has passed.
Thank you very much. So our next item on the agenda is a workshop discussion on cannabis. We may or may not introduce an ordinance, but because of sunshine laws, we are having this workshop so that the council can discuss this in public. We will be having public comment as well in the workshop. So I'm going to ask Ms. Schaefer to lean into her microphone and to go over the highlights or just the top line of this or of the draft ordinance, and it's we may or may not introduce it tonight.
Right. Thank you, Mayor. So in 2021, the Borough of Atlantic Highlands, as many other municipalities did, decided to ban all classes of cannabis from the municipality. Years have passed, and we had a cannabis commission led by Councilwoman
Cusick.
Why am I going to blank the lady next to me? And they made recommendations, actually, many of which we included in this draft ordinance. We also took some guidance from Tinton Falls ordinance, spoke with many members of council, fielded some questions. They have some more questions they may raise this evening. But pretty much what this ordinance says is the definition section are all right out of the statute. So we added nothing to that. We did restrict the number of licensees to no more than two in the two classes that are going to be permitted in town if this ordinance passes. One would be a dispensary retail establishment, and the other would be a manufacturer. The way they're set up currently is that the Class 2 facilities, which are the manufacturing facilities, could be in the light industrial or the highway business zones. The Class 5, which is the retail distributor, would be in the central business district or the LI or the HB zones, but all cannabis facilities are prohibited within the First Avenue corridor, which is all of First Avenue. Class 5 licenses, which is the dispensaries, shall not be located within 1,000 feet of a K-12 school on the same side or the opposite side of the street, and delivery services are prohibited. Now, the thing about that that's interesting is that by the state statute, delivery services can come into this municipality whether or not we license them. So any other neighboring municipality can deliver from their facility into Atlantic Highlands, and we can't stop it. I mean, that's part of the state regulation. No more than two of each class. We're not going to permit consumption areas. There's going to be a couple of things you need. You need the approval of the Cannabis Review Committee. There's going to be a licensing fee. There's going to be taxes that are going to redound to the benefit of the municipality. And the Cannabis Review Committee will be comprised. I know the mayor mentioned to me that I have the police chief as a required member, but we'll have a police chief designee if that works with the council. And I think there were five members altogether. And that's it. I'm open to questions on anything else we did. I think there was some question raised by Councilman Crowley about the signage. The state statute prohibits certain signage. You can't do anything on the face of the building that lets people know that there's any picture of a weed or any picture of a bird smoking a weed or anything that shows the public what's actually going on inside. You can put dispensary on the outside, put the name of the business on the outside, but the name of the business can't have a smoking facility kind of thing. It still has to be not detailing the nature of the facility. People will know what it is because it'll say whatever the town has approved. There's also the signage question. Our borough ordinances restrict signage on a commercial facility of any kind to 12 square feet. So that would happen automatically there. And the signage again would have to be restricted. It's limited to one sign. You can't, I know there are people who have been cited by the Cannabis Review, by the CRC, the State Review Commission, for having signage that reveals the nature of the facility. All licenses, obviously, to have a license in town, you have to get approved by the state licensing agency, the Cannabis Review Commission. And I think that's it, Mayor, for now. I'll answer questions.
Great, thank you. So right now we're going to have a discussion among the council. We will have public comment. If the council decides to introduce this ordinance this evening, the opportunity, it will have to go to the planning board for consistency review, and then it will come back to this body, and that will be the time for public comment. So the public comment tonight, I hope, will be constructive advice or thoughts on what you would expect to be included in the ordinance. You're more than welcome to say if you're in favor or not, but that discussion is more for the adoption hearing. So I invite any comments or questions from council as of right now.
Sure, I'd love to start.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor.
Great.
So my first question actually was not on the original list that I had, but when you
okay.
Ms. Schaefer, when you say that cannabis facilities shall be prohibited within the First Avenue corridor, does that include the corner of First Avenue and Route 36?
No.
It does not.
We said fronting. I think it says fronting on First Avenue.
Okay.
Intentionally.
So arguably that building on the corner of the Bayshore Plaza could be converted.
Actually, I see that my secretary mistyped it, though, so we will. If you introduce the ordinance, it should say all properties fronting on First Avenue.
The 1,000 feet distance
right
to the school, does that encapsulate where Cozy Corner is, or is that in that area?
Let me look at the note that I have, because Council President Dougherty and I, a few years ago, actually walked, thank you to Mr. Phillips, we walked with tape to check distances.
I remember that.
So let me just find my notes to see exactly what that is. But continue in the meantime.
Well, that's my question, because if we have a 1,000-feet radius, I'm concerned that if we are prohibited from if it's a 1,000-feet radius and it wipes out that section of town, then really, other than on 36...
Same way location.
Yeah, where else can it be located? That's the question.
Right, and I neglected to say that the ordinance would only make these uses conditional uses, right? So they always have to go to the planning board.
Yeah.
You could also grant a variance, but I don't think that's the intention. So that if that's a problem, you might want to carve out that location.
Yeah.
Because I do know that there's some question as to whether or not there's actually sites in town right now, as the town is currently constructed,
right,
where any of these would fit. So it could be.
Related to that, Ms. Schaefer, the sort of order of operations.
Mm-hmm.
If an applicant, assuming this ordinance passes, and we're amending this and we're creating this conditional permitted use, would an applicant go before the cannabis committee first and then to the planning board, or would they start with the planning board and then to the cannabis committee? How will the application process
it's
work?
It's sort of up to the applicant. I mean, some will actually go to the CRC first and get a conditional license and then come back to the town and
say, I have this.
You can go to both the planning board and the cannabis review committee simultaneously, but any decision would be predicated on the approval of the other.
Sure.
Also, the actual ordinance or proposed ordinance does say if the license is denied, if we deny the license, you get $7,500 back.
Right.
Yes, it does specify that. So it kind of makes sense to get the license first and then go to the planning board first and then get the license. To me, that would make more sense.
Right.
So to answer Councilman Colasurdo's question, what we measured from the door of the school, and I'm going to read all the measurements, so just bear with me for a sec. From the door of the school to the northeast corner of East Lincoln was 156 feet. From East Lincoln to Scenic Liquors, it was 403 feet. From the door to East Garfield, it was 479 feet. To the southwest corner of the same, it was 511 feet. Entrance to school to the entrance sign of the borough is 786 and a half feet. To the near corner of East Washington, it was 75 feet. So to Carton Brewery from the front door of the school, it's 115 feet. The near corner to East Highland is 338. The near corner of East Mount was 598 feet. To former King Sorensen, now Wendy Crowther's law firm, it's 634 feet. To 68 First Avenue, it's exactly 1,000 feet. And the west side of West is 577 feet. So if we wanted to include the west side of West, we would have to take down the from 1,000 feet to about 550, 575 feet.
Okay. And then my secondary question is, because I'm just trying to think about the makeup of our community, I don't know off the top of my head, that little area, I guess it's on the center, where there's a smoke shop now, that mm-hmm. little, is that... That's not like industrial, is it? What is that?
I believe that's part of the CBD, the Central Business District. I don't think it's historic business. I think it's central business. Mm. But
it can be looked at.
It could be looked at. We might also want to consider, I mean, clearly we're changing sections of Chapter 150, which is the development regulations. we might consider the office residential zone along Route 36 as well. There are other businesses. Currently, retail is not a permitted use in office residential, but we might consider that as well.
Meaning making retail part of the uses approved for office residential.
Yeah, because as it's currently constructed, this, as I read it, it's almost like 1 × 0 = 0. If there's no place to put it, what's this ordinance even worth? And so I want to make sure that if we're going to do it, we might as well make sure that it's worthwhile.
Sure. Is there anything, Ms. Schaefer, in the state statute, minimum distance from K through 12?
No. That's up to the town.
It's up to the municipality.
Okay. Ms. Schaefer, is there a square foot requirement for cannabis manufacturing?
square foot minimum.
I actually, not by the CRC. It's a question really of whether, how much plant you're going to manufacture.
Okay.
And probably I'd look to your zoning ordinance too, as to what manufacturing facilities, parking, things like that. I mean, it would just be the regular zoning.
And manufacture is not cultivation. Manufacture is
processing.
Processing, right. Yeah.
So I guess I'm curious, because manufacturing seems to require a larger square footage than delivery would require. And I'm curious, considering a delivery only cannabis dispensary would not require a storefront and would instead just be online orders and then delivery, wouldn't that be much less disruptive to the community? And that was not included in our, you know, class of uses or licenses.
So I would defer to the councilwoman to my right, but I'll remember your name now, I know. But I'm not even going to try, just in case. But I would say one other thing that factors into this is that delivery services, it's not going to be very remunerative for the community, because they don't make much money. They just get paid to deliver, where you're getting a tax on the manufacturer or a tax on the retail dispenser.
But you wouldn't tax
but the income is insignificant compared to the income from the retail distributor, retail dispenser, or the manufacturer.
Our committee very specifically did not want to give approval to delivery. One being exactly what Ms. Schaefer's point was, but also people coming in and out of town, delivery, moving things, the whole idea of having the product available in somebody's car. It was something we were very uncomfortable with.
Well, except Councilwoman Cusack, you can't prevent that.
Right. I understand that.
You're not licensing it, but if it's licensed outside your community, they can come into your community.
Right. I understand that. But for it to have it based here in town, it just did not seem to be something that the committee was comfortable with at all.
I think the characterization is a little bit different than my understanding. My understanding was because retail facilities can have a delivery component, that they didn't want to have a delivery service competing with the retail.
That was part of it also. There was a number of issues that were...
I never heard anything about people driving around and having it in their cars.
No. Well, it is legal to drive around with cannabis products.
You just can't smoke it while you're driving in Jersey.
I'm still not, I'm not 100% clear. I would love to see some numbers between, you know, what we could earn as a delivery service versus what we earn as a retail storefront.
But sure.
For now,
I bet you could look at Uber Eats and compare that to the actual cost of the product, though, because it is, we're going to tax the cost of the product for the retailer, and you're going to tax the cost of the product for the manufacturer. For the deliverer person, you're going to tax the cost of delivery.
So there's no, okay. So delivery does not mandate a site where the product comes from?
No.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you.
Another question that I have is, I noticed that in the definition of cannabis, it's limited to sativa. My understanding is there are other types of cannabis, whether it's indica?
Indica?
Yeah. Is there a reason why we've limited it to one particular species as opposed to the other?
But you may know more than I know. This definition comes right out of the statute.
Okay.
So I don't, I mean, could sativa maybe in all the products?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I can't remember.
Okay.
I have three questions. About the licenses, so two licenses, one for manufacturing, one for dispensary.
No more than two dispensing, one dispensary, and no more than two manufacturing.
So total?
Yes.
Possibly. This could be approved.
That was the maximum.
Okay. I mean, that would be, as you know, Mayor, that would be an issue for me. I've always felt that one and either, or each rather, would be appropriate for a town our size. The other is...
You could always make that decision as you move forward, too, because ultimate approval of the local license has to come through the council.
Right.
So if you've already approved one, the ordinance says up to two of each class. So you could simply decide the one that's in there, because a lot of towns really have too many. There's no question about it. There are a couple of towns where all the people who have licenses are not making a significant income. And so that impacts what the amount of money that goes to the community and impacts their willingness to stay in town. So that's something we can look at down the line.
And then, Ms. Schaefer, then, if, let's just say, for the sake of discussion, that we said one in manufacturing, one for a dispensary, we could, at a later point in time, say, let's raise the bar and let's say that we want to go to two and two again. Is that possible?
Of course it's possible. You can always amend
your... We're not limiting ourselves.
No, but by, at this juncture, again, you're not committing to two of each mm-hmm. kind. You're committing to no more than two.
Right, so instead of amending it for in the future, it's just we have the discretion.
Right.
It's regulatory as opposed to...
Yeah, it's built-in discretion.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is appropriate for now, but I would strongly suggest that the council look at possibly putting something into the language here that for the first 30 or 60 days that the business will be operating by appointment only. I've seen that work in other towns where there were issues with a lot of traffic and there was also an interest in a new business. And it, you know, this is not 100% something that the community is rallied behind, but to try to ease the transition for new business into town, I think that that might be the smart approach to sort of put caps on things for the first 30 days, because I've seen it work. Especially in the terms of blowback coming to the council with traffic and heightened interest in this. And then my last thought here is going back to the signage. So 4x3, 12x12, or 12 square feet. Fine with that. I would just like to suggest that we look at some language that's limiting. I know you said the wording to dispensary, but also colors, so that it's a muted color, less is more, I think, for a town of ours. And also no internal lighting on the signage, but external lighting, so that it's not bright and popping in your face.
Well, so that's why it goes to the planning board, though, and that's why you make it a conditional use. So the planning board will have input on both of those issues. If your concern is traffic and parking, and some cannabis facilities and some municipalities have valet parking, some have off-site parking, some have on-site parking, but parking is a big part of it. So you don't have to. The planning board does not have to approve the conditional use if they're not satisfied that those issues are taken care of. I saw that other suggestion that you made about the 60-day sort of test period, but that sounds
not a test. If a business is here, it's here. It's really, it's sort of a pressure valve.
A phase in,
phased in.
Sounds unconstitutional to me. So I'd have to look at that. I mean, I don't think you'd want to treat any one business different than other businesses.
I mean, we'd have to look anecdotally because we know that they've done it in state.
Well,
so.
I haven't seen it, but I'd take your word for it. If that is the case, we can look at it. But I would be hesitant to advise you to simply single out a legal product being sold in the community to be treated differently than any other legal product that's been sold.
I think we need to do more research on that front. Yeah.
Any other comments or questions from council right now?
Council rests.
You're such a lawyer.
I'm gonna just quick poll the council. We are gonna open it up to public comment, but it sounds to me like we have more questions moving forward. So I think, can I just poll the council if we think we want to go ahead with an introduction tonight, or do we want to take a little time and do a little more research? Councilman Pujols.
I'm good with it. I think we can go ahead with it. I'm okay with it.
Councilmember Forbes.
I'd rather do more research.
Okay. Council President Dougherty.
I'd like to seriously consider the office residential zone and changing it and adding that. So I think we should pause for now.
Okay, so I've got two wanting to pause. Councilwoman Cusack.
Since there's always questions, why we don't have to do this tonight? I think it's important to make people feel comfortable as much as possible.
Okay. Councilman Crowley?
Pause.
Councilman?
Does it even matter? I think we have enough votes, but I would like to pause.
I just think that'll help inform the public comment right now.
I think we should. But I think pause with an understanding that we want a quick turnaround.
Not a long pause. I'm not advocating a long pause.
So I guess what I'm asking the council then is to please, in the various twos and threes, because we can't have a conversation about this out of the public, that if we could organize ourselves And please include Councilwoman Cusick on all communications on this, and our borough attorney, that we can be organized in how we discuss this further. And then I'm very interested in hearing public comment on any suggestions as to where we're at right now based on what you've heard. So I have a motion, a second to open up.
One more. I just wanted to, you asked a question there earlier today about the whether there's a definition of office residential in the state statutes. There is not. Every town gets to decide what's permitted in its zones. So when you set up an office residential zone, you can decide what goes in there and what doesn't.
Thank you. Okay, so I think we're good here for now. I'm going to ask for a motion and a second to open public comment.
I'll make the motion.
Dr. Seconds.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Is there anyone in the public that'd like to make a comment? Yes, ma'am.
Your answer, 29 Linden Avenue. A couple of questions. Can you tell me the committee that's going to oversee this, how are they going to be selected, and what are their terms, and what are their qualifications to be on the commission?
It's a 3-year term appointed by the mayor with the consent of the governing body, and
the two other members are a designee from the police chief and a designee from the borough administrator, which could be either of them.
And how many?
Five total.
Mm-hmm. And they would be staggered terms on
the Yes.
Is there any distance? I don't know the zones, but is there any distance included? I know for schools there is, but for churches or for parks, municipal parks?
Not in this draft, but there is a requirement for buffering if there's residential. Mm-hmm. Near the site.
Okay. And what about parking? Is that
that'll be up to the planning board. Regular parking requirements will obtain. So they'll have to be satisfied there's adequate parking based on the number of people, like any other retail facility.
So they can use the borough parking lot, which so many of the businesses on First Avenue.
I guess.
But they won't be on First Avenue.
But they what?
These
won't
businesses
be on First Avenue.
Right.
Oh, right, but that parking lot is close to
right.
Other areas, too. And are there hours?
They can only be open, that's in the ordinance, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m., Sunday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Okay, terrific.
They don't have to be those hours here, Smith.
You apparently done a lot of work on this, so thank you kindly. Who else is been on your committee with you on this?
Mr. Krause, Jim Krause, Joanne Deloso,
Rich Knothel's been on it over the years. At one point, we've had this for a long time. Former Council President Barakia was on a version of this committee.
The police chief was part of it, a non-voting member.
This has been going on, so it was a committee.
Before I was on council.
Right.
Right before I was on council.
Terrific. I have one more question. Hang on a second. It'll come to me in a second.
I'll go back to you, Mayor. I'll go back to you if you think of it. Mr. Lansdorf, come on forward. Unless we've already satisfied you.
No, I just wanted to, Josh Warren's with 60 Bay Side Drive. My understanding is the school boundaries are the property line, not the front door. You'll have it on all four sides. So to bear that in mind.
Thank you.
When you make your distance determinations.
Great. Thank you.
I've seen this before in drug free school zone and busing.
Oh. Thank you. Anybody online, Paul?
No hands.
Okay. Mr. Fisher, you had your hand up before?
Thank you, Mayor. Mark Fisher, 91 3rd Avenue. Just for the record, I'm not against it. I think the taxes that the borough would gain would benefit all of us. However, based on what Ms. Schaefer said tonight, whether it's 500 feet or 1,000 feet from the four corners of that school property, parking's going to be an issue, no matter where you put it. Now, we could all say the municipal lot is the cure-all for everything, which I would vehemently disagree with you, especially during daylight hours, the hours that you described, especially on the weekends. If we could have a map, I think the borough clerk makes a map for the planning board whenever they need to send out notifications, 200 feet. If we could have a map with the 500-foot and the 1,000-foot circles, well, not really circles, I mean,
radius
shape.
Radius.
I think it would give all of us a much better picture of where those, where everything would fall out in relation to the different zoning. And I think it would be very beneficial for the planning board once it gets to them, because I think a lot's going to hinge on what the planning board says or suggests. Personally, I think 4 licenses is way too many for a 1.2 square mile town. Mm-hmm. 1 would probably be optimal, 2 would be a stretch, but 4 to me is way too many. Just my opinion.
Great, thank you. Anyone online?
Nope, still no hands.
Ms. Spicer? What did you make for dinner? Oh, you didn't? You skipped it? Thank you for coming tonight. I know you had plans.
Morgan Spicer, 620 Woods Drive. I think everybody here has done a really good job with this. I think you've taken a lot of feedback from a lot of different parties. You've made compromises. I think everything looked great except for the 1,000-foot limit. I think it's too limiting. I think 500 would be better. I am the daughter of small business owners, many of which are, a lot of family members are seeing the results of these tariffs. This is a business that can be manufactured in America. This is a product that America can make. I think that it would be silly to not be investing in it as a small town, as we have very uncertain future ahead of us. I think we're very certain that this is something that could make money. I disagree, Councilman Crowley. I think that the market's been saturated. People are not going to be swarming a door of business that opens. Like, most people have their pick of where they're going. There's plenty of options within, each town over has options. People still buy illegally as well. So I think that trying to limit a new business the first 30 days of opening would just kind of make them fail off of that, and then we're not going to tax dollars from it. So I think that the council's doing a great job. I appreciate this coming forward, and I look forward to seeing whatever you guys put forward for next.
Thank you. And if anybody who's spoken already has thought of something else that they'd like to share with council, please definitely send an email to mayor@ahnj.com, and I will share your additional thoughts with the council, because I know we're all processing, as we're thinking. Who else? Anybody? Did you come back, Mrs. Smith, with your question?
What's the zoning on Route 36 for the length of Route
36? Depends on where you are. There's parts of it. I would say the majority of it is office residential.
Office residential?
Mm-hmm.
And
residential.
Would these be allowed in office residential?
Not yet.
Not at this point.
That was the discussion. We were saying that there was a question whether the definition of the zones was statutory,
okay,
or if it was municipally driven, and there is a possibility that the council could decide to change the uses allowable in the office residential to include retail.
Gotcha. It's also a little wishy-washy whether or not to Atlantic Highlands or Middletown, depending on where you are in 36.
Well, it's clear on the block and lot.
Right.
Anybody else online? Anybody else here? Awesome. I think that was a very nice and respectful and informative conversation. Can I have a motion and a second to come out of public comment on the workshop?
Crowley moves.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. Moving on. What is next? More public comment. So this is public comment on consent and regular agenda items. We are going to have a motion to table the Ordinance 9-2025, and we've just given public comment on it. So this is, okay, we're going to pull it. But we do have one consent agenda item, the payment of bills. So Mrs. Clark, I think we're good. I don't think we need to say it tonight. Anybody in the public would like to make a comment? Anyone online? No. All right, may I have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda?
Crowley moves.
I second.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Colasero.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Ms. Forbes.
Yes.
Mr. Fuhold.
Yes.
Items on the consent agenda have passed.
Thank you, everybody. Okay, we're now on to Ordinance 6-2025. This is an introduction. Council President Dougherty, would you, or Councilman Crowley, would either of you like to give any kind of color commentary before we introduce it?
Sure. So briefly, Mayor, thank you. Ordinance 6-2025 repeals the existing Chapter 5, Article 2 in our borough code, which talks about the composition of the Recreation Committee, and it specifically mentions the Fireman's Fieldhouse, which no longer exists. And so what this ordinance does is it essentially codifies the way the Recreation Committee is currently organized. And clarifies that and removes references to the field house, and it's quite straightforward.
Great. Councilman Crowley, anything to add?
Adds the potential.
So, yes, what the ordinance states is that we could have no fewer than five regular members or no more than seven. So we currently have five regular members of the Recreation Committee. If the council so chose to add two new members, we could do that, but we don't have to.
Great.
Awesome. Okay, we have a motion and a second to introduce Ordinance 6-2025.
Dougherty moves. Crowley seconds.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Colasero.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Ms. Forbes.
Yes.
Mr. Fuhold.
Yes.
Ordinance 6-2025 has been properly introduced. Public hearing and possible adoption May 5th.
Great. And then Ordinance 7-2025, amending Ordinance 6-2002, special duty assignments for police officers. This is an introduction. Essentially, it just says that if there's a cancellation from the folks hiring our officers, that they still have to pay within a certain period of time. May I have a motion and a second?
Crowley moves.
I second.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Colasero.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Forbes?
Yes.
Mr. Fuhold?
Yes.
Ordinance 7-2025 has been properly introduced. Public hearing and possible adoption May 5th.
Wonderful. And now we're on to Ordinance 8-2025, amending Borough Code Chapter 25, Fire Department Membership. Council Member Pujols, would you like to give a real quick overview on what that is?
Yeah, sure. The current ordinance states that the members that join our volunteer fire department have to live within 2 miles of the borough, which limits their pool of getting any volunteers. Our neighboring boroughs, like Seabright and other towns, some people are seasonal. They come here for the season, they live in Seabright for the season, they volunteer for the season. They come down for the meetings, they still have to fulfill their duties and their training and their hours and have to fulfill to be a member and pay their dues. And we had an incident, instance where a member lived in Island, but his mother lives in Leonardo, but his driver's license says Island. He spends 90% of his time with his mother, Leonardo, and he's like, well, I would love to volunteer. How can I do it? And then I think he did get hired, or he was allowed to join. We want to remove that statute in the ordinance to give them a larger pool. And again, they're too far away, and they can't make it a certain time. They can still volunteer for other duties, overnight duties, bad weather duties, disaster duties, which then we know ahead in advance they could come in a couple of days before. So they don't have to respond within 5 minutes. They can respond next week when we have the disaster, the rain, the storm, the flood, or whatever it is. And the more members we get, the better, obviously, right? And it's very hard to convince a young member in this town, in high school or junior high school, hey, how would you like to work for nothing? You know, the volunteerism is so low that they're going through extreme measures to get members. And I think by eliminating this 2 mile radius, it'll give them an opportunity to get more members from adjoining towns that maybe there's no room in certain boroughs, no room in certain jurisdictions, and they can say, well, I'm nearby and I can do it there. All right? But still have to go through the background check and all the other items, and they still have to fulfill the hours and duties.
Wonderful. Would you like to move it?
I would like to make a motion. Yes, ma'am.
Second?
Crowley seconds.
Thank you. Okay, roll call, please.
Mr. Colasero.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Ms. Ford.
Yes.
Mr. Pujols.
Yes.
Ordinance 8-2025 has been properly introduced. Public hearing and possible adoption May 5th.
Awesome. Moving on to administrators' report and professionals, our engineering friends. Hi, Paul. Nice to see you tonight. What you got?
Sure. Okay. Upper Prospect Wall. Construction of the replacement wall at the damaged section is complete at this time. Our office coordinated with Fiori Paving to complete the restoration of the disturbed areas with asphalt. Moving on to Hill Road. The sanitary sewer upgrades were completed last fall, and we allowed the trench to settle over the winter. And last week, the contractor returned to install the final surface course. For Center Ave Park, the contractor is mobilizing tomorrow and dropping off their equipment. They're going to start work later this week. They're going to begin working on the utility services and the foundation, and the anticipated delivery of the building, it should be the week of May 5th. And once it's delivered, it should be just some minor restoration work required by the contractor.
Great.
The Harbor Skate Park, skate park's complete at this time. It's been open to the public. We're currently working with the two grant funding sources, Monmouth County Open Space and Local Recreation Improvement Grant, to request reimbursement for the respective grant amounts.
Wonderful.
Yep.
So, thanks. Yeah. It's been busy down there. I've been driving by a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Been a lot of people involved in that, and it's great to finally see it.
That's awesome.
Come to completion. Yeah.
Sure.
Haven't you heard enough from me tonight?
No.
No, never.
Actually, the only thing I want to talk about today, because what was happening when this happened, is that last meeting we passed a resolution imposing a lien on the Blue Bay Inn for money that the town had to have spent to solve a leaking problem. And we imposed a lien and they paid it off, along with the cost of my services in connection with that. So, other than that, I've just been working with on the ordinances and, of course, the cannabis stuff.
Wonderful. Thank you. Mr. Farragina.
Thank you, Mayor. Regarding the Upper Prospect Wall updates that Paul provided, Congressman Frank Pallone's office will be resubmitting the federal appropriations request for the Upper Prospect Wall in the 2026 application process for the municipality. So we'll obviously keep everyone posted on that as time goes by. On Thursday, April 10th, I attended the annual Monmouth County Improvement Authority's financial seminar in Colts Neck. The borough received a letter from Monmouth County permitting the closing of County Route 8 First Avenue between East Highland and East Mount Avenues from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, July 19th, during the Atlantic Highlands Historical Society Arts and Crafts Fair. The borough received a letter from American Legion Post 141 advising of the annual Memorial Day Parade to take place on Monday, May 26th, with assembly at 10:30 a.m. in the harbor. Parade will begin promptly at 11 a.m. At the conclusion, a memorial service will take place in Veterans Park across from Borough Hall. The public is invited to attend. In the event of rain, there will be no parade. However, a memorial service will take place in the elementary school auditorium at 11:30 a.m. Acting Governor Way has issued Executive Order 385 ordering the U.S. flag, U.S. and state flags to be flown at half-staff during appropriate hours today, Monday, April 21, 2025, in recognition and mourning of all the lives lost and shattered by the recent tragedy resulting from the roof collapse at the Jet Set nightclub in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic. The borough has complied. The Atlantic Highlands Water Department will be flushing fire hydrants from April 21 to April 25 and the 28th if needed from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Residents will experience low water pressure and water discoloration. Therefore, try not to use the water during the hydrant flushing hours. If discoloration persists, please run your cold water only for a minimum of 20 minutes and the water should clear. Running hot water will cause sediment to settle in the water heater and the discoloration will continue until the water heater is flushed with clear water. Contact 732-291-0027 or 732-291-1444, extension 3701, to report any water issues. And last but not least, the next Borough Council meeting will be held on Monday, May 5th at 7 p.m. here at Borough Hall. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Okay. I hope everyone had a lovely Easter weekend. Councilman Colasurdo, you're up.
Okay. Let's start with the Chamber of Commerce. They had a meeting last week. The Chamber continues planning their events for the summer, including the farmers market, which will be every Friday, and also the car show, which I believe is June 16th, if that's the right date. In addition, because they had such a good turnout at the last meet and greet, they're going to have another one on June 4th. So look forward to additional information on that. I believe it's going to be on one of the boats, so that should be a good trip. Fire, no report. Harbor, no report. Shade Tree continued discussing the forestry registry index. And Davies, which is the company that they've hired, has been around town looking at the trees and doing their inventory. April 26th is Arbor Day, so there will be free trees outside of Borough Hall. They typically do saplings. I know the mayor's sapling had a fatal...
No, it's budding right now. My red bud has survived. It's a survivor.
So if you want free trees, come to the front of Borough Hall on Saturday, April 26th, between 10 a.m. and noon. That's all I have.
Thank you. Nice. Councilman Crowley.
Thank you, Mayor. just one report. It's for the DPW tonight. So, street department, reminder that zone-by-zone townwide brush pickup has started. Zone 1 and 4 have been completed. This week is Zone 2, and next week is Zone 3. Please check your calendar for your zone pickup schedule. And this is the first of 5 scheduled leaf and brush pickups throughout the year. Pavers on First Avenue. In the coming weeks, some paver repair work will be conducted along the entire length of First Avenue. Sanitation, please review the borough calendar for items that are permitted to be put out for bulk pickup. Recycling, reminder that the borough yard is open 6 days a week. 5 days open from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturdays from 6 a.m. to 11 a.m. only for paper and cardboard and cans and bottle recycling. Water and sewer, so we just covered that. The hydro flushing is starting this evening, goes through the 29th. And on a personal note, I will just say today is my 24th wedding anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
And just so you all know, I have to make a reservation to see her. Just so you know. Okay, that joke didn't land. But all right, that's it for me. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. I will report first on veterans. There will be a meeting on May 6th at 6:30. We're looking for more members. If anyone is interested, please contact Councilman Pujos, myself, or the mayor directly.
Thank you.
Senior citizens, club meets, just a piece of information. I don't think I've actually said this at any point concerning the Senior Citizens Club. They meet at the Senior Center the second Monday at noon. New members from Atlantic Highlands are strongly encouraged to come along. Please go. In relation to both seniors and to veterans, the county will have a picnic in the park scheduled for
I just posted it today. Let me look. While you go.
May 15th. Didn't write down the date. That's good. It's May 15th at Thompson Park. You do need to register, but it is May 15th, and it's a free event with all kinds of activities and foods and things of that nature. OEM is planning a meeting on Wednesday. A planning meeting, again, is going to be held on Wednesday concerning the exercise with Highlands. So, this is a very important activity, and a lot of energy is being utilized to make sure that Highlands and Atlantic Highlands is well prepared for an emergency. I have no police report for tonight, and thank you, Councilman Calsoto, for the Shade Tree Commission. I was not able to make it last week.
You're so very welcome.
Great. Mrs. Clark, I thought it was going to be cold in here, and I doubled up on sweaters.
No, I thought it was too.
You took care of it. Council President Dougherty.
Good evening. Thank you, Mayor. Start with personnel. DPW is seeking a part-time harbor employee, 35 hours a week. Interested applicants can pick up an application on ahnj.com or here at Borough Hall. Lots happening in the area of recreation. The townwide garage sale will be held on Saturday, May 3rd. Homes wishing to participate should fill out an application at Borough Hall. Registration fee is $10. Registration is open for summer rec camp for children entering kindergarten through fifth grade. Rec camp starts on Monday, July 7th and runs through August 15th. Registration online on the borough website, ahnj.com. Any questions, please email recreation@ahnj.com. Registration is now open for the girls' summer field hockey program. Year number two for that. It's open for children going into fourth grade through eighth grade. And there's a brand new kids' tennis clinic taking place on Sunday, May 18th for grades, kids in grades 1 through 8. Registration is only $25 if you bring your own racket. If you pay $50, your kiddo gets a racket to take home with them. So space is limited. Please register for all our programs on the website. Also related to personnel, the borough is seeking summer employment rep camp counselors. Half-day program runs, as I said, from July 7th to August 15th. Applications are linked on the website and can be dropped off or mailed to Borough Hall. Applications will be accepted through May 15th. No report for the planning board. Mr. Councilman Crowley handled DPW. Board of Education has not met since our last meeting, so I'll have a detailed report at our next meeting. And this is not council-related at all, but mark your calendars on Friday, April 25th, for the triple conjunction, a smiley face in the sky. The waning crescent moon will align with Venus and Saturn, forming an enchanting smiley face in the sky around 5:30 a.m. You have to get up kind of early.
No.
I thought that was fun. Check it out. That's my report.
Councilmember Forbes.
Thank you, Mayor. Commissioner Wall from the Harbor Commission and I will be out there looking at the smiley face together. We often see each other early in the morning. Brief reports today. Harbor, I have no report. Our next meeting is May 6th. I do want to thank Harbor Manager Lou Flieger for helping with the beach sweep, which was a big success despite the terrible weather. Green team, due to weather, the olfactory garden planting will take place on May 3rd, the aforementioned weather. Coincidentally, the same day as the townwide garage sale, so come on down and help us plant, again, 99 plants. Environmental Committee, no report this week, and the Green Team and Environmental will meet again tomorrow at 6 p.m. and 7 p.m. here at Borough Hall, and that is it for today. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor.
So I do want to recognize Morgan Spicer, who is also out there in the pouring rain and mist with me at the beach suite. So thank you, Morgan.
Councilman Pools, you're up.
I have no reports. FD, nothing. OEM, nothing. We have a meeting this week with OEM planning there, May 21st. Emergency preparedness drill.
23rd.
And
23rd.
May 21st.
You're right.
Yeah. And then EMS, the meeting was canceled last week. They were doing some stuffing some plastic eggs for the Easter weekend, which is good, and some stuff. They were doing some people's backyards, right? And that's what I have. So hopefully I have some more information for the next meeting.
Great.
Mayor, I forgot one thing. Since we're meeting on May 5th, anybody that is here tonight or listening, the Film Commission is putting on the very first NJ Film Expo. It will be at the Meadowlands Arena, of which our counselor is a commission for the NJSEA. Did I get that right?
That's it.
That's it. It is free of charge. You can go to the Screen Alliance of New Jersey, and you can apply for a ticket, which is free. There'll be 60 exhibitors, all New Jersey-based exhibitors, all part of the entertainment infrastructure, stage owners, operators, caterers, makeup, hair, our union members, dollies, grips, lights, you get it. We'll also have a number of panels from people in the entertainment industry, a lot of decision makers on the studio network side. Again, it's totally free of charge. It's May 1st, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the Meadowlands Arena.
I thought you were inviting us to a labor march. It's usually on my calendar on that day.
You can gently stroll into the facility. I don't know if it'd be a march, but there's a lot of labor there. So
I thought you were inviting us to drinks after the meeting.
No, that'll be after our council meeting on May 5th. Actually, thank you for that. Just wanted to thank our administrator, Farragina, for working with Amy Clark at Rumson Country Day. Some students over at Rumson Country Day were looking to do a litter stroll, and the first place that in our borough, which is very, very clean because our DPW does an amazing job, but we did have the egg hunt on Saturday, so the place that Mr. Farragina thought of was in the harbor. So I witnessed today some of the cleanup, and so I'm expecting a strongly worded letter from these fourth graders letting me know that there were 98 cigarette butts as part of their cleanup, and that the mayor's wellness campaign needs to get on that. So that is noted. The most unusual item that was discovered today was apparently there was a slice of pizza hanging in the gazebo. So It was, I guess it was decorative. But we're grateful that and these students will be analyzing what they found. They collected it, and then they're going to do a science project. And as part of their science fair, they will be talking about the garbage in our harbor. So I thought, since Ms. Spicer was here, you might want to hear about that, because that is her favorite area to comb for us. So go down tonight. That is it, because I think Ms. Spicer is actually going to report on what I was going to report on, because we talked about it before. But thank you, everyone, for being here tonight. And I'm going to open it now for public comment. Mrs. Clark.
The council encourages public participation and requests that all comments be addressed to the mayor. All comments should refer to topics relevant to the powers and duties of the Atlantic Highlands Borough Government. Speakers are requested to maintain proper decorum at all times during the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. So I'm going to ask if any of my regulars want to go first, because I know we have a new person here tonight that's going to have public comment. Ms. Spicer, want to come forward? So we're going to ask that you state your name and address.
Gordon Spicer, 6 Victoria Woods Drive. As part of the Atlantic Highlands Arts Council Earth Month celebration, on Wednesday the 23rd, 7 p.m., we're having a talk with the president of Sage Coastal Wildlife, who does a lot of good work around here. On the 25th, Elena Gidio, who was Volunteer of the Month earlier this year, she's going to be holding a meditation and kind of like a wellness hour and a half to 2 hour event at the Arts Council, 7 p.m. on Friday. If anyone would like to join, Muriel, again, she was there the first year, and it was, I think everyone had a really good time. And then on the 26th, Shady Trees giving away their saplings from 10 to 1, and then from 1 to 3, I will be doing a dog photo booth in the gallery. So anybody who has a dog who would like to come down, it's a free event. I have a photo booth with like customizable word bubbles and banners, and it's all about nature and peace and love and dogs. Free event, 1 to 3, you can just walk right in with your dog, take some cute pictures and walk right out. And then at 6 p.m. later that night is the opening for the gallery Nature Heals. So there's going to be, I think, 50-plus different artists showing their work that night. So we hope you can make it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, and one more, the 27th, Plastic Wave Project is doing a clothing swap at the gallery. This is a free event for the public as well. You bring clothes, and the number of clothes that you bring, you get a ticket, and then you can swap and pick up someone else's. So it's kind of like an on-the-spot thrifting type thing. So that should be fun.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone online?
No.
Anyone here? Yes, Mr. Fisher, come and be an example. It's a public discourse.
Thank you, Mayor. Mark Fisher, 93rd Avenue. This question is actually for the council president. Could you go over the cost of the EV charger?
Yes, sir.
Project. I know things have changed.
They have changed a bit. So first of all, quick update. So JCP&L has come and done half of their work, but they have not completed their work. So the chargers, which were due to be turned on April 17th, are not yet on.
They met at Rob.
Maybe. No, I don't think so. Nonetheless, so the total spend before incentives on this project, it was $165,754.50. We are then eligible for or have been awarded up to $110,300 in incentives. When I say eligible for, some of those programs, one of the main programs is the JCP&L EV-driven program. You cannot complete your application until your chargers are installed and networked. But I have been in touch with the director of that program. We are ready to rock and roll as soon as these things are turned on. That $110,300 total also includes a federal tax credit, which is known as an elective pay. There is some question on whether or not that is still valid, whether that will be recognized. We will pursue those funds as quickly and as we're able, but there is a question mark surrounding that. The total spend less utilities reimbursement, so we had to pay forward for our utilities, comes to $44,563.70. But as a reminder, these chargers will be owned by the borough, so any revenue generated by people utilizing them will come back to the borough. So we'll begin to pay down that charge and then return our investment as soon as they're operational.
So the charge you referred to is the $44,000.
Correct.
We just start paying that down.
Yes.
So when a vehicle charges, the revenue goes to the borough directly, or does the charging company?
It goes through ChargePoint. I believe the cut is 10%. Okay. It goes through a company called ChargePoint. So it's an app-based system. So a driver drives up to our location, opens the app, they see this is available, click start charge, they plug in. Their payment is processed through ChargePoint, and then ChargePoint will reimburse the borough either monthly or quarterly, depending upon the amount. So if we earn over $100 in revenue in a month, which we will absolutely exceed that probably in a day, we'll be reimbursed monthly. So we'll get an ACH transfer to the borough, less their fee.
When the borough gets the 90% that's left.
Correct.
And then we pay the electrical bill.
Correct. Yes, sir. Thank you.
I assume the budget ordinance is next meeting?
Is the next meeting? Yeah, that is the next meeting, May 5th.
Okay.
Oh, right,
so
you know.
Any questions we hold on till next meeting?
I mean, you could certainly ask them now and we could be prepared for them.
Would Mr. Yanos be there?
He will.
I think the questions that we have would probably require the meeting.
Sure. I'm just saying if you want to submit them in advance, he could work on it before the meeting.
We'll see. has there been any plans for or any meetings on regionalization since the last one a few weeks ago?
I am meeting with the mayors of Highlands and Seawright on Friday here at Borough Hall. It's scheduled to be a 30-minute meeting, and I have yet to inform Mrs. Clark about it. So I need a conference room on Friday at 5 o'clock, please.
The cannabis ordinance, I know we didn't pass it tonight. I was surprised it was on the revised agenda, but are we going to try to push that for the next meeting?
I mean, I would say that the word push is not relevant or applicable in this, but we would hope to have it on the next council meeting.
I noticed in the 25 budget there's an increase in the line item for LOSAP.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a ordinance change in the works to increase that amount to the volunteers?
We continue to consider that, and so we've done our best to work the budget so that we can consider that.
Okay, thank you. Is there any word on the possibility of FEMA calling back 2. Whatever it is, $1 million for the bulkhead?
No.
Still nothing? Okay, good. Is there any plan for a skate park dedication?
Yes.
Date.
So I'm working on a date because I spoke with some school children. We definitely weren't going to do it while there were breaks in the various schools that our children attend, especially Atlantic Highlands Elementary and Henry Hudson, but also looking for availability for some of the people that worked on the project as well as the mayor and council. It's probably going to be a Friday after school.
My son offered his help. If you would like people that were part of the imploring the council
in the way back
decades ago.
Yes,
he was part of it, and
I would love his help.
Yeah, so you want me to start getting names together? I said,
yeah, that would be great. It won't be this Friday. The earliest would be is next Friday, and that's based on availability.
Okay. Water study,
working on it.
Okay.
Got really great, like, I sent a text to the gentleman who's working on that, and he gave us a really great timeline projection, so I think we'll have something to report back within a couple months at the latest.
And the last thing, I was looking for something, I can't recall what, but the Planning Board Annual Report for 2023 is not on the website. Every other year is, except for that one.
This is reminding me of that When Harry Met Sally scene where the boyfriend wants to know where Sunday is. Watch it and you'll understand. The days, this is the days of the week. Where's Sunday?
We'll
find 2023 for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, okay, Mr. Leinsdorf. Your pen was barely visible.
Josh wants to 60 days. I drive now that allegedly the First Avenue sidewalk
allegedly
is coming. Is there anything going to happen about the sidewalk on Highway 36 with the absence of it, which I raised? I don't know if that was discussed with the Bayshore Plaza.
Without Mr. Romeyer here, I think we're going to probably have to wait for him to report on that.
I don't know how many of you have ever taken an NJ Transit bus.
I have.
But, you know, for decades or years, I wanted bus stop signs, and Mr. Perugina has done a great job and put them on, and I'm fighting now to get them in Runcie. I don't know if you know that there's a real time, if you have the NJ app and you go to a bus stop and you put the number of the bus stop in your app, in real time they tell you when the next bus is coming. Like you're sitting in the waiting room at Penn Station. It's spectacularly great, but it doesn't work if you don't have the bus stop number.
Oh.
And in order to put the bus stop signs with the bus stop numbers, you need an ordinance from the local governing body, and if it's on a county road, you need a county resolution. So my point is, since Mr. Ferragina got the bus stop in front of Borough Hall, I don't know if you've noticed that people actually take the bus.
I have noticed there's people there.
You know, it's quite impressive. So my point is, we need more infrastructure.
Yes.
For people to take the bus. It's there. The amount of money it costs to put up a sign or put in a bench is minuscule compared to, and put in a sidewalk is small compared to what we're spending on roads. And if people could get rid of one car or live without a car entirely, that would be great. And finally, I'd like to ask you to reconsider the number of feet from the new apartments for using the public parking to only have one parking space built in the new building.
Thank you.
Because let people walk 5 minutes. You know, 300 feet is too small, in my opinion.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Anybody else? Anybody in the back?
I'm Chris Andrich, 334 Ocean Boulevard. First of all, thank you to council members for your service to the community. It's great to have you here. We received 334 to 348 Ocean Boulevard, 7 homes. We're all the way up near Mount Mitchell. We got a notice from the town to the borough dated February 28th, and it said that they were stopping services of, there's a fire hydrant there and a turnaround that the town would plow and salt that road. We always understood for about a variety of safety purposes, and also pick up trash along that long roadway. And that anyway, we received a letter. We're pretty independent, the 7 homes, so it took us a little while to figure out one another's phone numbers, and we got together and just a few days ago sent a letter to the mayor asking if, basically, to not terminate the services. And so on very short notice, I wanted to see how or that we could appeal more formally about this this matter. So anyway, that starts, it's effective May 1st. So somebody said, can somebody get there before May 1st? There's a couple of elderly people on the long roadway that it's going to be an effort for them to go all the way up to the Ocean Boulevard. It's worth mentioning that the town has done this service for the last 30 years. And all of a sudden, the letter of no, we didn't know who it was from, it just said borough, wasn't signed, and then we have the situation. So I'm making an appeal to you to take another look at that.
No, I appreciate you coming to council and bringing this forward, and also the letter that you sent to me. We'll have conversations. Obviously, there was a reason that the letter was sent, and so we'll look into it and see what we can do, if anything, to satisfy that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else? Anybody online?
No hands still.
Chief, feels like you put your hand up. No, you're just scratching your ear. Okay, just making sure. All right, well, there is no executive session. May I have a motion and a second to adjourn?
Carly moves.
Corp seconds.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Have a great night, everybody.
So,